In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Sunday after the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, the feast when we celebrate how the cross was discovered in the 4th century by the mother of Emperor Constantine, St. Helen. And so every year, on September 14th, the Elevation of the Cross, we celebrate the meaning of the cross in our lives. In Holy Week, we remember especially what the cross meant in the life of Christ. But now we think about what the cross means for us in our lives as Christians. And the Church gives to us, not just on the feast day, but also before and after the feast day, readings from the epistles and the Gospels that dwell on this theme. What does the cross mean for us? Because it is, of course, the foundation of Christian faith and Christian life. In today's Gospel, from a reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, our Lord says these memorable words. He says, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Just so very simply, our Lord defines what it means to be his disciple, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to follow the same path that he blazed for us, like a pioneer. The pioneer of our salvation. He blazed this path which goes inevitably through a cross. St. Paul, in today's epistle, declares that he himself has followed this path. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So, the path of Christian life is the path of a cross, which sounds intimidating. We don't like to think about the way of the cross, especially in our comfortable American lives, where we have everything that we want. Suffering is so foreign to our lives. And the cross certainly is an image of suffering, in a sense. I mean, the cross was, it has been said that the cross was the cruelest form of execution ever devised by man. And our Lord certainly suffered on the cross. However, if we see suffering as being the meaning of the cross of Jesus, then we miss the point. You know, today's gospel is not a glorification of suffering in and of itself. Mere suffering is something that Christ has come to rescue us from, especially meaningless suffering. Now, the cross has an even greater meaning. That suffering of the cross was merely a means to an end. It was merely the cost of the love that Christ wanted to show to us and the faithfulness that he wanted to show to God, his Father. So the cross is an emblem for us, not of suffering, but of love and faithfulness. Of a kind of love and faithfulness that we don't find anywhere else in the world. You know, we use that word love all the time. I love you, he loves her, she loves him, you know. But what really is love? Christ showed us what really is love. Christ, who we know to be the Son of God, who exists eternally with the Father in perfect bliss, in absolute power, setting aside his rights as God, emptying himself, in the words of St. Paul, so that he could come and live with us, live next to us. And as God in the flesh, to show us how to be human beings. How to be the human beings that God created us to be. How to live according to that law that God established for humanity. To live as an image in this world of the love of God. The Lord summed up the commandments by saying that they are all summed up in these two commandments: to love God with all of our being and to love our neighbor as ourself. So love. Love is the commandment of God, and love is the essence of God. St. John tells us that God is love. And so we are called to live in that love that Christ himself showed us, setting aside his rights, setting aside his comfort, setting aside his position of dignity in order to be with us and allowing himself to endure all the evils that human beings would bring against him. So the cross is the path that we are called to take as well, following Christ in that example of love, setting aside our rights, setting aside our comfort for the sake of faithfulness to God and to one another. But this cross, which does lead to a kind of death, also leads, more importantly, to the truest life. Christ says, whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. Here the words save and lose have slightly different senses. What he means is, whoever would preserve his life as it is now. If we want to just keep the status quo of doing what we want, of following our own desires, wherever they might lead, the status quo of seeking fame and fortune according to the ways of this world, if we would preserve that life, we will lose it. None of that can last. In death, all of it is taken away. It's impossible to hold on to that worldly sense of life that we are all sort of brought up in this world that's been corrupted by sin. However, if we lose our life for the sake of Christ and his gospel, if we abandon that worldly sense of life, if we set it aside for the sake of following Christ and this way, this path that he showed us, then we will save and heal our lives in the truest sense of the word, receiving that abundant life that Christ promised his followers. Not just eternally living in the same way that we live now, but after death, living in the presence of God, in perfect peace and joy. But that kind of life is actually available to us in foretaste now, as we follow Christ, as we die to this world, as we die to sin. We discover that life of peace, that life of meaning, that life of that life of true bliss that God intended for us in the beginning, that life in God that comes from seeking to be near to God, the way that Christ showed us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, today let us recommit ourselves to following in a more intense way this path that Christ has showed us, setting aside our pleasures, our wants, our needs, for the sake of what we truly need, to be close to our God, to live according to our destiny as human beings, as an image of God in this world, in love and true faithfulness. To our great God be glory, honor, and worship, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.